fortress on the bluff. Ingenuity and innovation at the twin lights of Navasink, New Jersey. Read by David Sloan for The History Girl. 200 feet above sea level on the New Jersey coast is an unusual bluff with what looks like a fortress resting on top. This fortress has been protecting and guiding ships into New York Harbor for 150 years. The Twin Lights Lighthouse has been home to a number of firsts in lighthouse history and wireless innovation because of their unique and strategic location. The lighthouse was one of America's most technologically connected and continues to connect curious visitors with the past 150 years later. A lighthouse was built on this bluff as early as 1828. The original twin lights were designed by Connecticut architect Charles H. Smith. Smith was instructed to well and faithfully construct, erect, build, and in every respect completely finish two lighthouses and a dwelling house on the highlands of Navasink. The towers he designed were approximately 40 feet tall. The original keeper's quarters was constructed of wood, with two rubble stone towers and beacons 320 feet apart. The first lightkeeper was Joseph Doty of Somerville, and he was paid $40 a month in 1828. The United States Lighthouse Board decided on two lighthouses in the highlands in order for mariners to distinguish them from the Sandy Hook Lighthouse 5 miles to the north. In the early 1800s, the U.S. Lighthouse Board philosophy stated that lighthouses should have a fixed, that is, non-rotating light, thus necessitating the two lights in the highlands in order to avoid confusion with Sandy Hook's fixed light. Ultimately, it was decided that one tower was to have a fixed light and the other a rotating light. The U.S. Lighthouse Board constructed 7 dual or twin lights and 1 triple light following the same philosophy. However, the high operating expense of these multiple units eventually convinced the board to consider other alternatives. Finally, the U.S. Lighthouse Board determined it would be more cost-effective and practical to give each lighthouse its own distinguishing light pattern. In 1841, a pair of Fresnel lenses was installed at the Twin Lights. The lenses were the first ones brought to the United States from France. 3 years earlier, Commodore Matthew Perry was dispatched by Congress to study European lighthouses. During his time in Europe, he learned about the work of French physicist Augustin Fresnel. The Fresnel lens was far superior to any navigational lighting apparatus being used in the United States at that time. The lens used concentric rings of glass prisms to concentrate ambient light into a narrow beam. The center of the lens was shaped like a magnifying glass, so the concentrated beam was even more powerful. Tests showed that while an open flame lost nearly 97% of its light, and a flame with reflectors behind it still lost 83% of its light, the Fresnel lens was able to capture all but 17% of its light. Because of its amazing efficiency, a Fresnel lens could easily shine its light 20 or more miles to the horizon. Fresnel produced 6 sizes of lighthouse lenses, divided into orders based on their size and focal length. In modern use, these are classified as 1st through 6th order. The Twin Lights lenses resembled huge beehives of glass surrounding a light. The lenses were capable of producing 6 million candle power. The south tower of the Twin Lights received a 1st-order lens, and the north tower received a 2nd-order lens. By 1852, Congress received a report on the nation's lighthouses that was highly critical. The Twin Lights, which at that time were in desperate need of repair, were ironically singled out as the best in the nation. The report said the towers are in a dilapidated condition, the consequence of original bad materials and workmanship, and it has been represented that there is apprehension they are not capable of standing much longer. Because of the report's findings, the U.S. Lighthouse Board was created. One of their first acts was ordering a rebuilding of the Navasink Light Station. In 1862, in the middle of the Civil War, a new Twin Lights Lighthouse was constructed at a cost of $74,000. It is the only lighthouse in the United States built in a fortress style. It was designed by architect Joseph Laterly of Staten Island and was constructed of brownstone, an unusual feature as brownstone was chiefly used in residential building at the time. The new towers would be 250 feet apart and connected by a keeper's dwelling. The North Tower was constructed in the shape of an octagon, and the South Tower was square, giving them a unique appearance. In 1898, the original South Tower lens was replaced with one of the largest bivalve lenses ever produced. In that same year, the South Tower was electrified with an electric arc lamp, the first time an American lighthouse was to be powered by electricity and have its own generating plant. It was the only onshore lighthouse in the United States with its own generator. The electric arc light produced 25 million candle power and was the most powerful light installed in a lighthouse in the United States. Its light was visible for 22 miles at sea, though there were reports of it having been seen as far away as 70 miles when the light was reflected off a low-lying cloud bank. That same year, the light in the North Tower was discontinued. The South Tower was automated in 1949, but was discontinued in 1952 as the importance of lighthouses diminished. In 1962, the site was turned over to the state of New Jersey, which installed a sixth-order lens and reactivated the North Tower as a private aid to navigation. The North Tower remains active to this day. The Twin Lights are also associated with a number of other important events. The first official reading of the Pledge of Allegiance. In 1893, the Twin Lights were selected as the location for the first official reading of the Pledge of Allegiance as America's national oath of loyalty. This event coincided with the opening of the Columbian Exposition in Chicago and featured a grand naval flotilla off the coast of Sandy Hook. The Pledge of Allegiance event was held around a new addition to the Twin Lights, a 135-foot Liberty Pole. During the 1890s and early 1900s, the Liberty Pole was the first piece of America seen by millions of immigrants as their ships traveled toward Ellis Island. Wireless Telegraph. Messages from the first practical demonstration of wireless telegraph were sent from the Twin Lights site on September 30, 1899, by the famous Italian inventor Guglielmo Marconi. Marconi had been invited to America by Gordon Bennett, Jr., the owner of the New York Herald, to report on the America's Cup sailboat race using his wireless technology. He transmitted messages from a boat offshore, which were then sent to the newspaper for publication. Marconi maintained a wireless station at the Twin Lights for a few years before deciding that other locations on the United States coastline would provide better reception for his equipment. Marconi's experiments established the commercial viability of wireless communication and provided the foundation for the technology that led to the wireless devices which are so commonplace today. Radar. Starting in the late 1920s, a series of top-secret experiments took place at Fort Monmouth. In 1935, the U.S. military set up at the Twin Lights to test what the newspapers were calling a mystery ray. Eventually, the mystery was solved, and it is now called radar. The radar experiments held at the Twin Lights helped the Allies win World War II and led directly to the innovation that guides today's airplanes and even missiles. Over the past 184 years, the Twin Lights site has been host to a number of firsts and technological achievements in the United States. From its first keeper, Joseph Doty, to the last keeper, Murphy Rocket, these men and their families watched experimentation, innovation, and progress occur right before their eyes, 200 feet above sea level, in their fortress with a view of the ocean.